WCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. President Trump, in a White House press conference with Israel's prime minister by his side, says that the U.S. will take over the Gaza Strip. CBS's Weijia Zhang reports.
I think he actually begged much more questions than any concrete answers about the logistics of how this would work, the legality of how this would work, the cost.
President Trump vows to visit war-torn Gaza. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says of Saudi.
I think peace between Israel and Saudi Arabia is not only feasible, I think it's going to happen.
However, Saudi Arabia has just said that no Israel normalization without a Palestinian state. On another note, President Trump says talks are ongoing to bring an end to Russia's war on Ukraine.
This is an absolute slaughter that's taking place on the beautiful farmlands of Ukraine, and we have to stop it.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
I'm Brittany Merlot with WXCO News, your news roundup in a quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WXCO website at BullFallsRadio.com.
The Bucks get zapped by the Thunder. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks lost on the road to the Oklahoma City Thunder, 125-96. Milwaukee missing four of their top players, Giannis, Damian Lillard, Brooke Lopez, Chris Middleton. It was the Bucks' fourth straight loss. Pat Connington.
They're a tremendous team, and that's not a secret. For us, when you're in a game, when you're in a situation like where you're shorthanded and kind of, you know, like we were tonight, you got to think about the things that you can control.
College hoops, the Badgers host the Hoosiers from Indiana tonight in Madison. Greg Gard talked about their win over Northwestern over the weekend.
I didn't think we came really ready to compete right out of the gate on Saturday. So we got that fire lit a little bit. But I thought the group of Janicki, McGee, Amos was out there at time. Obviously, Gilmore did some good things in the first half. We got some energy going and got our juices going a little bit with that group off the bench. And that sometimes we need that.
That's Wisconsin's head coach Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, Wausau's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here today on the big program. Lots to get to, lots to talk about. Came across an exit interview. The Washington Post did an exit interview with former DNC chair Jamie Harrison. And I remember when Jamie Harrison was the new hot commodity, raised a bunch of money running against Lindsey Graham, was going to be the golden boy, was the wonder child of the Democratic Party, had the new vision, the way forward. And I got to tell you, during his tenure, the party struggled. And I think it struggled to find an identity. And I thought it was interesting that in the exit interview, this is his quote. He said, one of the things that I really recommend that we get back to is strong on the ground in the community actions where people aren't just hearing us talk about what our values are, but what they can see in real time. He said when he talked about when he was in South Carolina, one of the programs that they created, Democrats Care, where they did a whole bunch of things to help people out. And it went into this whole thing about talking to the working class and talking about working class issues, and went into, you know, maybe we should be talking to workers. And this is where my mind went into this crazy mode, because we reached out to Jamie Harrison almost immediately of him coming on as chair of the DNC. And we invited him to come on the program. I wanted him to come on often. I wanted him to come on once because we would have told him that. You got to stick to the meat and potatoes. Got to stick to that bread and butter stuff that you put on the table. That when you come home at 5 o'clock, you have some dinner. You talk to the kids. You got the roof over the head. You're working your butt off. You shower before you go to sleep. That kind of stuff. But he didn't come on. And they sent us no one. So what we would have shared with them is what I guess he's now found out 4 years later, never happened. But he did have a podcast, though. We were told that. We were told, no, he's probably never doing your show. But he has a podcast. And I'm hoping that the new guy, one, comes on the show because I think we have a lot to talk about. But two, hones in on that economic message. Because working class voters don't care about the culture war. They care about economic stability. They care about job stability. They care about wages. They care about benefits. They care about opportunity. We shouldn't be worrying as much about, things happening that's out of our control. We should be worrying about healthcare for folks, getting access, affordability, ensuring that when people get sick, that they get taken care of. We should be worried about education. We should be worried about workforce development, job training. We should be giving kids opportunities. We should be making lives better, investing heavily in apprenticeship programs that get kids union jobs, affordable housing, something that Kamala Harris, in her defense, did try to talk about. Now, I thought it was a dumb idea, and I'll be the first to tell you that. Giving $25,000 to a first-time home buyer does the one thing that Republicans love to do, and that is divide people. If you were going to give out $25,000, why didn't you just take the money, build low-cost housing, and give them away? That would have been a better solution than this here, which I didn't even understand. We do need to invest in low-cost housing. We do need to build stuff. Like kind of we did when my grandparents' generation was coming up. They built lots of little Levitt towns all around this country with federal money using private contractors who said, yeah, we'll build these homes for a percentage of profit. That's what people need. We need smart policy in that way. You talk to people, they want to know they're going to be okay. They want to know their Social Security is going to be there. They want to know that in rough times, someone's going to be to help there with unemployment or food assistance, those things. Now, in Kamala Harris's defense and in the Democrats' defense, they did lean in a bit into labor rights and union support. And I'll be right up front with that. Joe Biden, the most pro-union president of my lifetime. But the stuff that working class people care about, affordable child care, infrastructure and public services to help them get to and from work. These are things that this should be the core message. The core message is we're going to make your lives better. And this is where Jamie Harrison is right. And I wish as chair of the DNC for the last 4 years, he would have hammered on this. That idea of Democrats care should be the message. We care that you're going to be able to get a good job that's going to provide you a wage that you live on. We care that you're going to get health insurance so that when crisis hits, you will be cared for. We care if you have retirement security so as you get older, you don't have to worry about having to live with your kids or in the gutter. Democrats care about your kids because we want the best education and not all these schemes that maybe you get a golden ticket or trip over some virtual thing. But good, solid public education, community schools. We should be hammering on this because the other side is a horrible message. Trump's message is terrible. Trump's message is everyone else is wrong and I'm right and despise everybody. There's no plan. How Democrats lost working class people, quite frankly, they didn't talk to them. They stopped. Assumed they were going to be there. Took on other interests. Now it's time to get back to your roots. Time to roll up those sleeves and do some work. And that work comes back to what kind of a vision for the future do we have? Trump and company, they are going to show you again who they are. These are people who don't care about you or me or your neighbors. These are people who care about power. And look at what Elon Musk is doing. Look at the fact that we're about to enter into a trade war that nobody wanted. Look, I'm a protectionist at heart. This idea that we're going to slap 25% tariffs on two countries we have a trade agreement with is, well, I'm hoping there's a plan. I am. I'm hoping. But I fear not. While not putting a big enough tariff on China, look, I'm all in favor of taking on China. This may be the last opportunity we get to not lose the rest of our industries. Because understand, if BYD or one of the Chinese car companies gets access to this market, it's over. And it's not just the car companies that are going to go down. It's going to be all of the other jobs that feed into that. That is going to be a massive, massive disruptive opportunity for China to take over. And it's going to mean pain and suffering for working people in this country. So Democrats have there's a crack here. There's an opening to say Democrats care. They care about jobs. They care about infrastructure. They care about your children. They care about your communities. And it's time to point out exactly what Trump and the Republicans have in store for us. Now, do I hope these tariffs work? Yeah, I hope so, because I believe it's a tool we desperately need. But I don't know. And when you give someone like Elon Musk the kind of outweighted power that he's grabbing onto, I think we got problems ahead. And Democrats need to have a strong vision to bring people around. Back after this.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, interesting report that evidently the NTSB isn't going to be sending out emails, I guess, anymore. If you want to know what the NTSB is doing, you just have to go to X, what is formerly known as Twitter. Or as I put on social media, this is what fascism looks like. We will no longer be using press releases. Everything will be in a tweet or an X or whatever they're calling them now. Because, of course, Elon Musk wants it that way. And here to share some thoughts on how much power does Elon Musk have? Does he have the ability to cut, you know, funding for programs? Can he not pay contractors? Can he cut grants? Can he slash and burn our government? Interesting what $200 million will get you. But here to share some thoughts, I've asked my good friend Bob Ney to come share some thoughts. A longtime congressman from Ohio and probably one of the smartest political guys I know on the circuit. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Oh, thank you, Rick.
So, Doge Boy, they created a department for him, the Department of Government Efficiency, and they've given him a mandate, I guess, or something to go in and slash and burn. And I actually don't know. So can you walk me through what Doge is and what it's supposed to be doing?
Well, first of all, Doge doesn't have to worry about funding because Elon Musk, if he wants to, can fund whatever staffing levels he wants, let's face it. So, you know, he has the most money in the world. So when people talk about, well, will Doge get funding? It doesn't matter. Musk makes what? 1.6 million an hour?
Something like
so
that.
it just doesn't matter about having to have congressional approval or even the White House attempting to give staff. Although technically presidents can create these entities and then they can lend staff if they want to from other cabinet positions that are out there, from Health and Human Services or Homeland Security or OBM, Office of Budget Management, whatever they want to do. So I just kind of wanted to set that aside. That's not an issue here, where in normal cases, you have to go to Congress. I need help. I need this established. I need that department established. Second, Rick, this is not an official created agency. So therefore, it technically can't promulgate a rule, which is what agencies can do. They can promulgate a rule that says this is how we're going to function. This is, you know, how Human Services will allocate money. This is how HUD will carry out its housing projects. This agency won't be able to promulgate a rule. This is a created, fabricated agency by the White House. Now, having said that, maybe Musk will attempt to do, you know, certain movements throughout the government, but legally, I guarantee you that will be challenged instantly. Here's where it's all going to explode or mesh together or a combination of both. As Musk gains the support, of course, of the White House and goes into Congress and says, we want to do this, we want to cut that, we want to stop this, we want to make a rescission, whatever he does is eventually going to butt up against the Congress. I'll talk about the Republican side. The Democrat side is not going to like what he does, but the Republican side may also fall into that category in certain places. They may not like what
Elon Musk. Brother-in-law might lose a job.
Well, sure. Yeah. And now, the Congress itself, on a bipartisan basis, has failed forever now to create budgets. They don't do budgets. They do continuing resolutions. A continuing resolution is not a budget. So, therefore, as they do the budget process and Musk comes in with all these ideas, if they go back to the budget process, I should say, instead of if they do it, the Republicans promised under McCarthy to do that, and they have failed to produce, you know, all the budget documents they should have, agency by agency. But let's say that they do. Musk will come in with these recommendations, and of course, he has a lot of political juice behind him if he has Trump in his corner. That's where this is going to collide. The Republicans will start to have Musk into their territory. You know, the budget committees, by the way, this is a nice inside thing that happens, which a lot of people don't know about. But the subcommittee chairs of the Appropriations Committee, Appropriations spends the money, allocates the money, whichever way you want to put that. So they're the key budget principles if we go back to that. They're actually called cardinals. We call them, oh, he's a cardinal, she's a cardinal. We actually call them cardinals. Think about that, you know, as in the Pope, right? You know, so the speaker's the Pope and these are the cardinals.
Sure.
Well, it's just amazing. So there's a lot of turf battle there and a lot of ego-centric situations where it's like, it's my subcommittee. You're not going to tell me what to do. So this is where I think Musk hits up against the wall. Now, the question is this: will Trump, if the Congress pushes back very, very hard, Republican side, will Trump align with Musk and create damage for himself amongst the Republicans? Or will Trump say, I've got to survive here and I'm going to put Musk in the background? If Musk goes in the background, does he go quietly, or does this become a food fight with he and Trump? That's the big question.
No, and it's been my question from the very beginning, not just because of this most recent power grab that we're seeing, because, you know, look, you know, Musk spent $200 million to get Trump elected. He now has access to a $6 trillion checkbook, and he's claiming The reports that are coming out is that he's vowed to unilaterally cancel grant payments because, you know, he says that, well, these different places have been instructed by Treasury to just pay things, approve payment, even if they're fraudulent or to terrorist groups. He's also said that they're going to stop paying contractors. So, you know, he's already taking a position of, I don't need to go to Congress. I'm slashing and burning right now.
Well, of course, President Trump found out, you know, a week or so back that you just can't unilaterally freeze. You can temporarily do it as a president, but it was already going into a court battle, and Trump reversed the entire freeze on the government because there is an impounding act, which was created in 1974 due to Richard Nixon saying, I don't like what Congress did. I don't like what they passed. I might have signed the bill, but guess what? I'm going to stop it now. That movement by Nixon created the 1974 act that led to what's called impounding, where if a president wants the Congress to take something back, quote, to rescind it from what the Congress approved, say the year before, the president has to ask for that to happen and the Congress has to approve it. Now, Trump falling in line with, you know, what I'm sure Elon Musk gave as advice, just
it's time for Wausau West Warrior High School Hockey on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Warriors Hockey is brought to you by the Cloverbelt Credit Union, Red Robin Restaurants, Sun Printing, the Wausau West Athletic Department, the Wausau West Hockey Booster Club, and Coast to Coast Marketing. It's now time for Wausau West Hockey on your home for the Warriors, 98.9 WXCO.
And good evening and welcome to Wausau West Warrior High School Hockey. Tonight, live on the Sports 2 stream of WXCO.FM and on the Civic Media app and on tape delay on 98.9 WXCO. Tonight, it's an inner-city rivalry with a little dash of Lincoln County as well, as the Wausau West Warriors take on the Blue Jacks of East Merrill United. From the Marathon Park Ice Arena, I'm Chad Holmes. Well, the Wausau West Warriors come in after a big win on Saturday. Warriors went to New Richmond, knocked off the number 6 ranked team in the state by a score of 6-4. Significant game with the upcoming playoff seedings on tap for this weekend. So Wausau West, right now, 14-5 overall. They are ranked number 5 in the state in Division 1 in the brand new rankings from Wisconsin Prep Hockey. And right now the Warriors in a battle for second place with DC Everest in the WVC. Stevens Point, they are going to win the conference championship. Stevens Point 8-0 in the conference. DC Everest has played 2 more conference games than the Warriors. DC Everest 6-3 in the conference. Wausau West 5-2. So the Warriors, if they're able to win here tonight and then win against Everest on Thursday, a game that we will have live on 98.9 WXCO, the Warriors will clinch second place in the conference standings. So 14-5 overall, 5-2 in the conference for Wausau West. Meantime, for East Merrill United, they are in 5th place in the conference at 1-7. They are 8-13 overall, but it's an improved hockey team, an improved hockey program, a team that's been able to light the lamp a whole bunch more this season than they did a year ago. Looking at EMU, their top scorers, a couple of kids at Wausau West, as we'll hear from head coach B.J. Brandt in just a few moments, Zach Poggle and Jackson Pierce. Poggle, 18 goals, 19 assists, 37 points. Jackson Pierce, 14 goals, 23 assists, 37 points. Meantime, for Wausau West, Warriors have been red hot as well with a few of their forwards. Cooper DePoit, 16 goals, 22 assists. I should say 16 goals on the season. 17 goals for Chase Crass, 11 for Owen Pergalski. Again, that line has been producing big time for Wausau West in recent weeks. We are going to take a timeout and then come back and hear the pregame comments of the head coach of the Wausau West Warriors. I'll be talking to B.J. Brandt coming up next. It's Wausau West taking on East Merrill United, live on the Sports 2 stream of WXCO.FM and the Civic Media app, and on tape delay on 98.9 WXCO.
What's your idea of winter fun? It's hitting the trails after a fresh snowfall and you're thinking new snowmobile. It's time to call CCU. That's Clover Belt Credit Union, the leader in financing fun. If you're thinking new four-wheel drive vehicle to get you to the downhill slopes or the cross-country trails, it's time to call CCU. That's Clover Belt Credit Union, the leader in financing fun. Quick, easy loan applications, friendly lenders, and great rates make CCU the lending leader in financing fun. If your idea of winter fun isn't in the snow, maybe hitting the highway in a new motorhome is the way to go. Just give CCU a call. Financing for motorhomes and winter getaways. When you think fun, think Clover Belt Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Life's too short and winter's too long. Call CCU for your great rate financing. Dial 715-842-5693 or apply online or from your smartphone. That's Clover Belt Credit Union. Local lenders lending local money. Keeping our community strong.
The Wausau West Hockey Booster Club is a proud supporter of our broadcast of Warrior Hockey on 98.9 WXCO. The Wausau West Hockey Booster Club would also like to thank their program sponsors for helping support the Wausau West Hockey Program and the Wausau West Hockey Invitational. Those sponsors include Goldline Golf and Hockey and Troy's TikTok. Please pay a visit to those businesses and thank them for their support of Wausau West Warrior Hockey.
Hungry for flavor-packed fun?
Dive into Red Robin's sizzling burgers, mouth-watering fries, and endless options.
Or maybe you're craving the perfect slice.
Then it's Donato's Pizza, your passport to pizza perfection.
Order now and treat yourself to an unforgettable taste experience.
Red Robin and Donato's Pizza, 2255 48 Rib Mountain Drive in Wausau.
Call 715-301-0019 or log on redrobin.com.
Red Robin and Donato's Pizza.
Yum.
So, how are the kids?
Well, Emily made the honor roll.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah, we're really proud of her. Tyler, on the other hand, though.
What's going on?
He's been moody lately, just feeling down and not like himself.
Oh, we've been there. Nick was struggling last spring. He was so anxious and stressed.
Really? What helped?
Well, he joined the soccer team. And ever since, he's been a lot happier. He has more energy, he's less stressed, and he's definitely in a better mood at home. It's made a huge difference.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm glad he's getting out of the house, he's getting some exercise, and he's off his phone for once. It's been good for his mental health.
Sounds like it's been good for your mental health, too.
Participating in Wisconsin high school sports improves students' physical and mental health. Encourage your son or daughter to get involved. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Wausau West Warrior High School Hockey continues on 98.9 WXCO. Tonight, back into the Wisconsin Valley Conference, Warriors and the Blue Jacks of East Merrill United. With head coach V.J. Brandt, I'm Chad Holmes. Nice to be back at Marathon Park for a little stretch here after a nice road win on Saturday. Going back to that game, I mean, that was tough hockey. As you had a chance to sit back and take a look at that game, what jumped out about what your team was able to accomplish against a really good New Richmond team?
Well, I think the first thing was to handle the physicality. I felt like overall we were pretty mature throughout the entire game. Like I didn't feel like we let it bother us early, but it didn't affect us in the overall way like it did against Spash. And I think that's some growth for us there. I think, you know, when we looked at the film, Coach Brown and I looked at the film, we watched it because I drove over separate because I was at my daughter's game, and we watched the game on the way home and just had it, he had it playing there, and you know, you get to look at it. We didn't play as well as we wanted to, and you know, and as you watch the game, you look at it and you think, man, we were pretty undisciplined in certain areas. We were really good in our effort. Like, our effort was there. And that's what I told the guys. I said, hey, our effort was there. I said, now we have to be smart with our effort, because we could be really tough to play against, because New Richmond's a good hockey team. They're talented. They created a lot of scoring chances against us. We were obviously able to take advantage of some chances that we had, and it was a good game to kind of vault us, hopefully, into playoff mode and start to dial things in a little bit.
That's actually interesting you would say that, because I kind of felt the same way, that as that there still is room to grow, and that's something actually you want. You don't want to hit that ceiling right now. You still want to have that room to grow, and you're exactly right. There were moments during that hockey game that you probably could have done a few things a little bit better, but that's also an exciting aspect, isn't it?
Oh, it's super exciting, because, you know, when we look at film and we have places to improve, and we had a film session yesterday, and it was largely, you know, lighthearted in terms of how, but we were still able to get our point across to the guys with them engaged and them participating in it and talking about the plays and talking about what they were thinking about. So I think that just shows a little bit of maturity on our group, and I think that's a big part of it. Right now, like, these last, you know, five games for us, we have to dial in the details. I think the big picture things are there. Our effort is there, our ability to execute in key moments. Now it's a matter of dialing in structure, so making sure our power plays are good, our penalty kills are good, our forechecks and our D-zone covers, like, just fine details on those. And there's certainly room for improvement after how we played on Saturday, but, you know, you hope in these next few games that we can start to sharpen it up a little bit.
Tonight, EMU, and it was going to be a stretch of three straight conference games sort of to get towards the end of the season, then that final game at Neenah, but now you have that makeup game coming up against North next Monday. But coming back to the conference, and I said to Coach Brown when I came in here before you were here, that right now out there for the JV game, there's more people in the crowd than I think a lot of varsity games. And that shows, again, I was talking to somebody earlier that you can be playing great non-conference games, and you do it all the time, but there's still something about these conference games that this adds a little bit, and I hope that people don't take for granted that these conference games still have that little bit of an edge, that rivalry factor that is always fun, isn't it?
It is. I mean, you look at tonight, we're going to have, you know, pretty much the whole town of Wausau hockey here. It's youth hockey night for us tonight, so any kid that plays youth hockey and I think wears their jersey gets in for free, so you should see a bunch of young kids running around. We'll have you know, the young kids skating between periods. Youth hockey's doing a fundraiser in the second intermission. So, you know, you look at just the way that the conference feel. It's you know, it's an hour drive at most in our conference. And you look at some of that, and it just provides an element of continuity where these kids have played against each other their whole lives. Because as you travel in the youth hockey world, you're going to stay within that hour time frame. And that's kind of where these guys are at. And I think the conference games are super important. I mean, I think as you know, and as it's gone, like, certainly Spash has kind of run away with the conference this year, but there's still an opportunity to finish second. We've got to earn that over these next few games.
What about EMU? Looking at this team, it looks like a team that has taken strides forward. In fact, you would say the conference, I think the floor has risen. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you look at, I think they've got 8 wins on the year, and they've been putting up goals. I mean, they've scored a lot here. And I think, you know, they've got some guys that we have to be aware of. You know, you have to know where Zach Poggle is on the ice, and you can't give him time and space. You have to know where Jackson Pierce is on the ice and can't give him time and space. And you've got to do the little things right to score, because their goaltenders have been playing better as of late. And you look at where we want to be and where we're at right now, there's certainly room for us to take strides against them tonight. We're going to have to play well.
How are you going to avoid getting slimed tonight?
Well, I don't know if that's possible, Chad. I was slimed a year ago, and if it means that we're raising money for youth hockey and I got to get slimed again, I'm the perfect person for it. You don't have to do my hair. It's easy cleanup, and hopefully it's a big event and people seem to have a lot of fun with it.
Good luck tonight.
Thanks, Chad.
Coach of the Warriors, B.J. Brandt, will come back, get you ready for the opening faceoff. Warriors and the Blue Jacks here on 98.9 WXCO.
For more than 60 years, Sun Printing has been Central Wisconsin's commercial printer of choice due to their commitment to quality, creative solutions, and dedicated service. Sun Printing's team offers you a wide spectrum of services, whether you need vehicle graphics, offset, digital, large format, graphic design, or mailing. They print everything under the sun. No project is too big or too small, so give Sun Printing a call at 845-4911 or visit them online at sunprinting.com.
Looking for the best in website design and digital marketing? Look no further than Coast to Coast Marketing, Central Wisconsin's number one choice. We're not just about building great websites, we're about building our community too. That's why for every website you purchase, we'll donate 10% of the sale to the school of your choice. Imagine growing your business while giving back to local schools. It's a win-win. Visit c2cmarketing.com or call 715-379-7460 today and make a difference with your business and your community.
Thanks to the Wausau West Athletic Department for their continued support of our broadcast of Wausau West Warrior Athletics on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Thanks for listening to our broadcast on the radio, but we want to see you out and about cheering on Wausau West student athletes in action. To find out your next opportunity to see the Warriors, go to wisconsinvalleyconference.org and click on Wausau West. When you're faced with a challenge, how you respond determines the real winners. Rural Mutual believes there's something more important than just winning or losing a game. They believe that the team, school, and fans who support their athletes with dignity and class are the true champions. Rural Mutual is the proud sponsor of the WIAA Rural Mutual Insurance Sportsmanship Award since it started in 1965. The award recognizes more than team sportsmanship. It recognizes that sportsmanship matters in your community as well. Visit ruralmutual.com/WIAA and see how our team and your community can work together to be true champions.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, streaming at bullfallsradio.com.
Chad Holmes back from the Marathon Park Ice Arena as we are nearly set for hockey, the Wausau West Warriors and the East Merrill United Blue Jacks. Wisconsin Valley Conference action heading down the stretch, final 2 weeks of the regular season. Wausau West 14-5 overall. They are 5-2 in the Wisconsin Valley Conference. EMU, they are 8-13 and 1-7. Starting lineups being introduced, Julian Scalcucci, goaltender again. He has started every game this season for the Wausau West Warriors. Ethan Rohde will be one of the defensemen, 6 feet tall, 145 pounder. He is a senior.
On defense, number 21.
Also a defenseman, number 21, Tegan Rasmus. Tegan, big 6'3" 215-pound junior for Wausau West. Forward line for the Warriors, red-hot Cooper DePoit. DePoit, junior, 5'9", 180, had a couple of goals on Saturday in the victory over New Richmond. Left winger will be number 9, Owen Pergalski. He is a 5'7", 140-pound sophomore. And then on the right wing will be number 10, Chase Crass, 5'9", 165-pound junior.
So again, forward line, Pergalski to Poit and Kras, defenseman Rohde and Rasmus, and the goaltender Julian Scalcucci. Julian, on the season, 14-5, has an outstanding 2.28 goals against average, .919 save percentage, and he has had four shutouts as well. He has been one of the keys for Wausau West during their recent run to get into the top six in Division I state rankings. Tonight in net for the Blue Jacks of EMU, they've been splitting time in net, but tonight it'll be Chase Klebanow. Chase Klebanow so far this season.
Sophomore, number 25.
3-7. 4.62 goals against average. 893 save percentage. Defense pairing for EMU. Number 25, Liam Zadroik. He is a sophomore. He goes to Merrill. The other defenseman, number 2, Rohde Benedict. He is a senior. Goes to Merrill. Forward line, Zach Poggle, leading goal scorer for the Blue Jacks. He is a senior, goes to Wausau East.
Sophomore, number 15, Jackson.
Jackson Pierce, second leading goal scorer for the Blue Jacks. He is only a sophomore. He goes to Merrill. And the other forward, Keenan Yankee, a sophomore, who goes to Merrill as well. Very young starting lineup for EMU. Three sophomores in the starting lineup, and also three seniors.
In this important game here tonight, the Buff Kuhlman Memorial.
So Kuhlman Cup game, and been going on for a very long time.
But tonight, we honor a real good person.
Let's listen in to the presentation.
We lost Bob Packroad. If you've been to the hockey rink, Bob was always a fixture here at the rink. So as Fred Todd Schoenfeld, who played for East in the class of 76, we're going to honor him tonight. As Susie's here, Lucy, Polly, and Andy making all the way. Andy played back in the day for the Warriors. So this is what Todd had written up, and we would like to share about Bobby. Some of these refs also know Bobby. We're sad to announce that last week the hockey community lost the legend Bob Patnode. Bobby was a friend to all of us. He was called to our Lord and Savior on January 29th at his home with his loving family. Bob's lifelong love of the game has affected so many people over the course of many, many years. He started playing hockey at the age of 5 years old. He played on the Minnesota State Championship teams from 1964 through 1966 for his high school team, the International Falls Broncos. He won the scoring championship in his junior year at Stout University over in Menominee. His team won the Wisconsin Men's Senior title in 1973. He officiated hockey for over 20 years, including high school, youth, senior men's, and Division III college hockey. He officiated in 14 WIA state tournaments. He won 5 Badger State gold medals in the 1990s. He was also inducted to the International Falls Athletic Hall of Fame on 2 different occasions, 1965 and 66. Bob's 1996 high school team was recently selected by the Minnesota Wild as the greatest hockey team to win a Minnesota state tournament. Bob's most recent acknowledgement includes the honor of being inducted into the Minnesota Rainy River Junior College Hockey Hall of Fame, which is taking place this coming June. The Wausau area would like to thank Bob for his dedication to hockey. From a player to coaching to officiating, he was an internal part of keeping the game moving forward throughout the years. The dedication proved to be invaluable in 1978 by saving the game of high school hockey from its probation period. At this time, may he rest in peace. Please join us in a moment of silence for our loved one, Bobby Patnode. And at this time, the Wausau East Pep Band will play the greatest song with the national anthem. Thank you.
And now here is our national anthem from the Wausau East Pep Band. And our national anthem here from the Marathon Park Ice Arena. Ready to go, high school hockey. Wausau West and EMU, glad you could be with us. Again, the starters for Wausau West in net, Julian Scalcucci, defense pairing of Ethan Rohde and Tegan Rasmus, forward line of Owen Pergalski, Cooper DePoit, and Chase Crass. One of the rare times that here at Marathon Park you'll see the Warriors in the Road Blues, because tonight the Blue Jacks are the home team. In net, number 31, Chase Klebanow. Defense pairing of Liam Zadroik and Brody Benedict. Forward line, Zach Poggle, Jackson Pierce, and Caden Yonke. Warriors go from right to left in front of my broadcast position here in the first period of play. First time around, the Warriors took it to the Blue Jacks by a score of 13-0. That was the third round of the Marathon Cup. Teams did not play during the Cup itself over at Green Heck Turner. They played the following Tuesday here at the park. Gray jerseys, white numerals for the Blue Jacks, outlined in black. There's the faceoff, and we are underway. Puck is moved to the far side, taken by Caden Yonke. Yonke gets it over the blue line into the Wausau West zone, then taken right back by the Warriors, but Yonke fighting for it in front of the Wausau West bench. Puck is picked up by the Blue Jacks. Puck is then knocked away and stolen. Wausau West through center ice. Owen Pergalski. Pergalski into the zone. Pergalski right face-off circle. Pergalski a shot. Save. Rebound. Another save. The rebound attempt by Tegan Rasmus for the Warriors. A couple of good saves made by Chase Klebanow to keep the Warriors off the board. Puck goes deep into the Wausau West zone. Chopping at it is Julian Scalcucci. Puck to the far side boards. Puck is still battle for it. Now picked up in the far face-off circle, and the Warriors will chop it up to center. Back up ice, Chase Crass. Crass will roll it in deep. Chasing it down will be Wausau East Merrill and Liam Zadroik. Puck is battled for below the goal line, taken away by the Warriors. Now left faceoff circle shot and a blocker save made by Klebanow on that fire from Warrior forward Cooper DePoit. So a solid start here in net for Chase Klebanow, the senior from Merrill for the Blue Jacks. Offensive zone faceoff coming up for Wausau West. 54 seconds into the game and still scoreless. Here's the draw. Battle for near the dot. Back to the point. Ethan Rohde. Then a one-timer and a goal from the point. Ripping it on the one-timer on the right-hand side is Shea Jones. And the Warriors get off to a 1-0 lead. Boy, a big rip. Shea Jones, sixth goal of the season. He has been an offensive force along with a defensive force for Wausau West so far this campaign. Exactly 1 minute into the game. So Rohde moved it from the left to the right and then one-timed by Jones past Klebanow. Don't believe there's any sort of deflection on that shot. So early lead for Wausau West. Warriors will flip it up through center ice on the far side. Riker Remington. Remington has it knocked away back into the East EMU zone. Taken by Owen Reeves. Reeves fighting for it. Well, the puck is knocked back deep into the zone. Behind the cage, Riker Remington. Remington moves it off the near side boards through center ice. Goes all the way down into the Wausau West end, and there will be no icing. They'll say the Warriors could have played it. Joe Gravine moves it right-hand side. Now through center ice come the Warriors, deflected into the EMU zone. Chasing it down is Owen Reeves. Reeves off the near side boards. Taken by Gravine. Shot. Save. Deflected into the near side corner. Puck in behind the cage. Owen Reeves. Reeves will bang it off the far side boards and get it up to center ice. Caden Boleen along with Ethan Rohde with assists on that goal scored by Shea Jones. Puck back to center. Grabbed there by Caden Yonke. Yonke gives it away. Puck is picked up by the Warriors and Parker Barrero. Barrero flips it up to the Wausau East Merrill blue line. Now the Blue Jacks trying to work their way back up ice. Puck taken away by Joel Gravine. Moves it off the near side boards. Trying to knock down that puck is Xander DeBio for the Warriors. Now West into the offensive zone. And there's a whistle and an offside as Parker Barrero just in front of Jake Kane as Kane brought it over the blue line into the zone. Parker Barrero moved up onto this line because as we saw on Saturday, Tyler Wendell was injured in the game against New Richmond. Looks like Tyler will be out for a couple of weeks, so hopefully he'll be back for the start of the playoffs. Now the Warriors enter the zone. Shot over the crossbar from Cooper DePoit. Puck comes in front. Puck is still loose. And now cleared aside by the Blue Jacks. Here comes EMU through center ice. Connor Zadroik will roll it into the Wausau West zone. Picked up deep and now a whistle. And the first penalty of the game will be called And it looks as though the Blue Jacks will head to the power play. Interference call coming up. So on the score sheet quite a bit early is Shea Jones. He's on the score sheet for that goal, and now he's on the score sheet for going into the sin bin. 14:21 to go, first period. 1-0 Wausau West. Now the power play will begin for the Blue Jacks. Face-off is battled for. Grabbed by the Warriors, whipped along the boards behind the cage, and all the way back to center ice. Having to reset now will be the Blue Jacks. Puck played on the left-hand side. Brody Trantle moves it on the near side. Taken there by Brody Klebanow. And now the Blue Jacks will get it into the zone, left wing side. Now they'll set things up. Puck is rolled left face-off circle. Back to the point. With it is Zach Poggle. Poggle a shot. Goes wide of the cage. Puck into the left corner. Kept in deep by the Blue Jacks. Centering pass. Right face-off circle. A shot and a stop made. There was an opportunity for Zach Poggle on the deflection. Took the shot through a screen, but made the stop was Julian Scalcucci. Back into the zone. Here comes EMU. Left-hand side, Jackson Pierce. Pierce stick handles back near the point. Pierce now fires it wide of the cage. Deflected into the right corner, banged off the boards. Kept in by EMU. Again, the Blue Jacks. Pierce. Pierce takes a shot. Gets deflected, rolls in slowly, and covered up by Julian Scalcucci. A minute 3 to go on the EMU power play. 13:25 to go in the first period. And still a 1-0 lead for the Warriors. Face-off will be in the right face-off circle to the left of Julian Scalcucci. There's the draw. Taken by the Blue Jacks for a moment. Then Joe Gravine will clear it back to center. Picked up there now by EMU and Riker Remington. Remington gets it into the zone. Oh, there's a shot. Oh, an opportunity. It bounced hard off the backboards. Coming on the right-hand side was Liam Zdroik, but could not get a clean opportunity, as looking the other way was Julian Scalcucci. There was an opening there for EMU, but now the Warriors cleared all the way down ice. Turned over. Thrown in front. There's a shot and a goal. Short-handed goal. Owen Pergalski with the steal. Got it in front to Cooper DePoit, and DePoit lights the lamp. With 12:57 to go in the first period, and the Warriors take a 2-0 lead. Can't afford those kind of mistakes if you're EMU deep in their own zone. And taking advantage, Pergalski found his teammate DePoit right in front, who got it past goaltender Chase Klebanow. 4 minutes and 3 seconds, the time of that shorty for the Warriors, who take a 2-0 lead. Face-off taken by the Warriors. Joel Gravine, he'll turn, dump it to the EMU blue line. Now the Blue Jacks, Zach Poggle trying to work his way in. Had it knocked away. Captain at the point for a moment by Riker Remington, then grabbed by the Warriors and cleared back down ice. Chased down by Owen Reeves for EMU. Reeves back below the goal line, moves it on the far side boards. Joel Gravine trying to keep it in, did not do so. Delayed offside on the Warriors. Wausau West will touch up. Now the Blue Jacks down to 8 seconds on their power play. Puck knocked away. Here comes Jake Hayne. Hayne trying to feed it in front towards DeBile, but good defensive work that time by Reeves. Takes away that shorthanded opportunity for the Warriors. Back up ice comes EMU. Puck battle for deep in the left wing corner below the goal line of the Wausau West zone. Back to 5-on-5 hockey. Puck is still battled for deep in the left wing corner. Puck is still fought for. Now in behind the cage. Taken by Barrero, has it taken away. Fed to the left faceoff circle. Not able to get a shot off was Jackson Pierce. Now the Warriors get it back. Up ice comes Parker Barrero. He'll dump it in deep. Puck is moved to the near side corner. Still fought for. Now picked up by Wausau West. Puck in the deep left corner. Trying to dig it out is Drake Kuharski for the Warriors. And now it looks like a penalty coming up. Delay penalty coming in front, and the shot save. Barrero chops again, and now touched up by the Blue Jacks. A delayed penalty, but the Warriors got it in front of Parker Barrero. Had two opportunities. Good first stop made by Klebanow, then covered it up. So with 11:31 to go in period number one, Warriors will head back to the power play, looking to extend their 2-0 lead. Owen Reeves from Newman Catholic. Defenseman goes into the box for the Blue Jacks. Near side, Ethan Rohde. Rohde gets it to Gravine. Gravine fires in a goal! Joe Gravine! From the point, using a screen in front was Gravine, went over the right shoulder of goaltender Chase Klebanow
And the Warriors very quickly take advantage of the man advantage and take a 3-0 lead with 11:21 to go in the first period. 5 minutes and 39 seconds, the time of that goal for the Warriors. So the Warriors have an even strength goal, the Warriors have a power play goal, and the Warriors have a shorthanded goal. 3-0 Warriors. Puck is now chipped up the center. Played by Cade Damrell. Flips it into the EMU zone. Now turned over. With it is Boleyn. Right faceoff circle. Trying to throw it down low. Deflected below the goal line. Now with it is Hendrix Damrell. Trying to come in front. Then grabbed on the right-hand side. Shot hit the side of the net from Caden Boleyn. Puck into the left wing corner. Chipping in is Cade Damrell fighting for the puck. But grabbed by Liam Zadroik for EMU. Puck is now turned over. Right faceoff circle. Right pad save made by Klebanow. That was a turnover, led to an opportunity for the Warriors. Good stop made by Klebanow. Puck back to center ice. 10:35 to go first period. 3-0 Warriors at neutral. Now Wausau West, K. Damrell into the zone, left wing side. Damrell thrown in front. Hendrix Damrell. Hendrix in the left corner. Stick handles. Now works his way over to Caden Boleyn. Back over to Hendrix Damrell. Fires it. Right pad save made again by Klebanow. Puck along the near side boards. Still fought for, trying to dig it out for the Warriors is Shea Jones. But now the Blue Jacks get it up to center. Jones will roll it back in, delayed offside, Warriors clear. Back up ice comes EMU, chipped into the Wausau West zone. Goes in behind Julian Scalcucci. Puck banged back to center. Picked up there by Zach Poggle, he'll roll it in deep. In behind the cage, picked up by Drake Kuharski for the Warriors. Now the Warriors trying to break it up ice. Up to center ice, Chase Crass. Crass into the offensive zone. Crass gets knocked off the puck. Puck is chipped forward now by EMU. Here come the Blue Jacks. Dumped in deep. Right in on net. Knocked away by Julian Scalcucci. Now the Warriors. Cooper to point. Quickly up ice. Gets knocked down. Puck is now lost by the Warriors. Picked up by the Blue Jacks. Now here comes EMU. Back up ice. Puck is taken away. Puck. Maybe a little cross-check getting away with it that time with Drake Kuharski. But now the Warriors will bring it back through center. Up through center ice. Owen Pergalski back towards Cooper DePoit. DePoit now left corner. DePoit trying to fight for the puck. Has it knocked away. Puck is still battle for along the boards. Blue Jacks get it to the point. Not out. Rohde. Rohde moves it right-hand side. Tegan Rasmus. Rasmus a shot. Save is made. Covered up by Chase Klebanow. So stoppage with 8:59 to go in the first period. And a 3-0 lead for Wausau West. Face off to the left of Chase Klebanow. Puck in now behind the EMU net. Puck is played by the Blue Jacks. Trying to work his way out of the zone is Brody Klebanow. He does get it up to center. Played at the blue line by the Warriors. And Ethan Rohde moves it towards Parker Barrero. Barrero gets it over the blue line, then chopped back out by the Blue Jacks. Rolls back into the Wausau West zone. Ethan Rohde moves it right-hand side. Now the Warriors will try to break it up quickly, but could not connect on the pass. Turned over, back up ice, Riker Remington. Remington will throw it in on net. Glove down and played by Julian Scalcucci. Now the Warriors looking to break it back through center ice. Here comes Parker Barrero. Barrero into the zone. Barrero drops it off. Xander DeVille. DeVille could not handle the pass. Back to the point, Ethan Rohde. Rohde fires it on net. Glove down by Chase Klebanow. He'll hold on, take the whistle, and the stoppage in play. 8:12 to go in period number one. Remains Wausau West 3. EMU nothing. Thursday night, we'll be back here at the Marathon Park Ice Arena. Warriors and the D.C. Everest Evergreens. 6:50 for the pregame, live on 98.9 WXCO. WXCO.FM. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Here's Caden Boleyn, a shot and another save made by Klebanow. Good opportunity for Boleyn. Puck below the goal line, left-hand side. Picked up by the Blue Jacks. With it is Liam Zadroik. Zadroik lost his edge, lost the puck. Puck is loose right on the doorstep. Chopped aside by Klebanow to the near side corner. And now the puck is deflected back through center ice. Tegan Rasmus for the Warriors. Moves it right-hand side to Joe Gravine. And now the puck will be rolled back in. Played by the Blue Jacks and Brody Benedict. Benedict gets it back to neutral. Tegan Rasmus gives it over to Hendrix Damrell. Damrell into the zone. Damrell between the circles. Now Rasmus. Rasmus a shot. Gets deflected wide of the cage. Puck into the right corner. Played by Hendrix Damrell. Damrell has it taken away by the Blue Jacks. Back up ice comes EMU. with the puck as Jackson Pierce has it knocked away and stolen. Teagan Rasmus, but now the puck deflected, picked up again by Teagan, and he'll dump it in deep. Puck is now to the right faceoff circle. Puck played by the Blue Jacks and Jackson Pierce. Pierce moves it right-hand side, Kanan Jaakke. Jaakke will cross the red line and dump it in deep. Puck in behind the cage, slowed down by Julian Scalcucci for the Warriors. Here comes West, 2-on-2. Cooper DePoit into the offensive zone. DePoit trying to get around the defenseman. DePoit in front, DePoit! A shot, it's stopped by Chase Clebinot. Good rush up the right-hand side that time by Cooper DePoit for the Warriors. Puck is cleared back to the Wausau West zone, picked up again by Shea Jones. Jones lost it. Coming back to play it now for the Warriors will be Chase Kras.